Chipper is with us. Chip is legendary for how punctual he is, Dave. Many people have traveled with Chip when it's a, let's just go, Chip, it's a 7 o'clock departure. Okay. What time does Chip Scoggins like to get at the airport?
AM or PM?
Let's go AM.
7 a.m. departure, I would probably get there 4:45 a.m.
Oh, my God. Why don't you just sleep there?
I've been known to do that, too.
So part of the reason that we're adjusting the schedule is you are going to arrive somewhere for an interview, and we're lucky to have you. So, I mean, I'm not taking – but I'm guessing your drive is like 5 minutes – and your interview is starting at 50 minutes, but you are just taking all precautions. And I can light up Seifert and others who would back me up in that conjecture. Are we correct?
It's a 30-minute drive.
Okay, well, that's
but
longer.
As I always tell them when they complain when they travel, because people, other writers hate travel with me. But I would always tell them, you never know, right? You yeah. never know when something's
right.
going to happen. It's going to be a backup on the interstate. There's going to be poor Seifert. He traveled with me one time. We were in Boston, and I got him there so early. No one else was there, but there was a guy on a it was a vacuum cleaner that sat up high. They were vacuuming the carpet down the terminal. Seifert took a video and picture. Just
oh, it's so good. Oh, we've all got our stuff, Jim. There's a reason why we play at the start of the show. Everyone's got their something because my list is not short. I can assure you that. Let's
That's right.
Let's start with the most popular sport on the planet, the National Football League. And if they just wanted to say to every other sport, to any other live programming, if they wanted to say, I want you to watch the first four games. And then we're going to use the old cliche, hold my beer, because you just can't touch us, be pretty good. I mean, those, I watched notable parts of all four games. And I'm not saying everyone was artistic and perfect, but the sport is not. And when you needed drama at the end, when you needed lead changes, the amount of lead changes were unprecedented. It was yeah. a tremendous weekend of NFL football.
Yeah, they would say everybody, every other league is playing for second, right, in terms of drama and interest. But
a distant second.
A distant second, yeah. Well, was it the first game yesterday when they put up the graphic that they had already had 12 lead changes in
yep.
the fourth quarter in the postseason, which is the most ever, and the guy's like, you know, like, this is only the second day. Like, this
yeah,
is,
yep.
It tells you how great it was. But drama, it delivered. Last second touchdowns, it delivered. But you know what it also delivered? You better have a quarterback.
Yes, that is correct.
you better have an elite quarterback. I mean, look at how many times the quarterback had to lead a touchdown to win it. I mean, we saw game after game after game. And so if you're looking at it from a Vikings perspective, it just reinforced how important they get that position right.
Yeah, the one guy – and those first of the eight guys who's not elite, who, oh, by the way, won the Heisman Trophy, so we're not talking, you know, is Bryce Young, right? And he's improved, yeah. but everybody else, because, man, I like Purdy a lot. I mean, I was yep. uncertain about Purdy. I'm no longer uncertain about Purdy.
He's
damn good. All right, so let's get to the game that's most germane
yeah.
to NFC Northdom. I'm on here with Collar on Friday, and I'm debating with them a little bit. I'm like, how are the Packers favored? I just think the Packers at the end here, and not counting the Vikings game, but they just keep finding a way to lose, and the Bears keep finding a way to win, and then you're watching the first part of that, and I'm texting Collar going, I was hacked. I never said that. You said that, not me. But then it's like, it just, if you wanted to crystallize their seasons, in the last game, here we go. LaFleur, just let's get the lead, let's be aggressive, and let's just panic. And the Bears, let's just hang in there. The defense at times can be atrocious, And then out of nowhere, for like a quarter and a half, they're a great team.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those Caleb Williams throws. You know, I mean, if you want to buy into patience with a rookie quarterback and say, just hang on, there's a lot of Caleb Williams last year, there's a lot of Caleb Williams early, and I'm not saying he's Josh Allen yet, but that throw on fourth down when he's going to his left, and it is spectacular. That's a throw you're sitting there as a Bears fan and saying, we've only waited for a guy like that since Sid Luckman in the 40s, and we probably have our guy now.
Well, even last year when we watched Caleb as a rookie, he had throws where you're like, you know, he had moments where there's just, you know, you cover your eyes and throws that were like, wow, not many guys are going to make that play. And what was the conversation last year? Man, if he ever got good coaching, watch out.
Right.
You know, and then you saw it. Like that fourth and eight throw was just, I don't know how many guys are going to be able to make that play that he did. But the Bears are so weird to me because I was looking at it and I've had this feeling. I always get skeptical when a team relies so heavily on creating turnovers. And they by far had the most takeaways in the NFL this year. And their turnover ratio was number one, too. If you look at their yards they give up, God, they're like 26th. I mean, they give up a ton of yards defensively. So I just – it always makes me nervous because what happens if you don't create turnovers? Can you win, you know? But what they showed in that second half and the way they – defensively, they just tightened up, and that's where it really started. I mean, we're going to talk about Caleb Williams and the throws and all that, but really it was what Dennis Allen did defensively and getting that crew to really just shut out the Packers. And I haven't seen anything today. I've been writing if LaFleur, if the Packers have said anything on him yet.
Schefter reported early in the day that they are trying to find a way to make it work, which is interesting. I get the gut to me that says they'll go to him and say, we'll give you another year. Okay? That so you're not going into this upcoming year with the 1 year deal. Maybe you're going with the 2 year deal. So if the new guy in charge, it's Carmen Policy's son, is it Ed?
Correct.
Ed Policy. If he called you today, what would you say? The regular season record is outstanding. They made it to back-to-back championship games with Rodgers, but of late, they're not doing enough. Would you say he's really good? We know he's going to get a job quickly, but we're moving on. Or would you say we're not going to take a chance? We're going to keep him.
Yeah, it's tough because this is what, year seven for him. And yes, the regular season you can't argue with. As soon as that game was over, I thought, man, he might be fired in the morning.
I did too.
The emotions of it, and I don't know, Chad. I'd really have to really examine it deeply. Obviously, they know a lot closer than I do what's going on behind the scenes and everything. But I could honestly probably argue it either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was just such a bad loss, and this is now twice. Is it 2 years in a row? Something like this has happened for them in the postseason. So I don't know. It doesn't surprise me if they say, you know, we'll pack on another year, because I think Paulsey's been on record saying, I don't like having coaches go into lame duck years, which is what LaFleur would be. So if they tack on another year and just see how it goes, I guess that wouldn't surprise me at all.
So I would say this, if your call went to voicemail and then he calls me, I would say until Harbaugh was out there, I would have said keep him. Okay.
Yeah.
Harbaugh, I still think, has got some juice left. Now, I will tell you what I think is a very overblown side of this story. Kevin Harlan's brother is Brian, who I bet you've met. I, through Kevin, used to see Brian a bunch in Chicago when he used to be based there, and he was an agent, and he was really fun. Like, I mean, he'd come down, and we'd joke around a little bit. It was a great time. Obviously, both of their fathers, Bob Harlan, who was an absolute legend as the Packers president. And there's so much talk now because Brian Harlan is representing John Harbaugh that it's the fit. And I'm thinking, I think we're trying really hard here. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh is a very smart football guy. And if he goes to Green Bay, he's going to go to Green Bay because, wow, I got a great quarterback. Yeah. I got Micah Parsons coming back. I'm not – John Harbaugh's not going to say, I'm going here because my agent's dad used to run the team. This is idiotic. I mean, stop.
Well, and I do know Brian because he reps every coach.
Yes, like, exactly.
Every coach. Yeah. I think with Fleck. I mean, so, yes, I do know him, and that's like – number 9,000 on the list.
Exactly.
So.
All right, let's do this. Let's pause and come back. And I was watching more football, but I did see parts of the Wolves game. And let me just say this. Julius Randle, you just showed us what you can do last night. If you do that on a regular basis, this team's now dangerous. This team now can play with better teams, but for most of the last month, he's guarded about as well as Chip has while he's watching the game on his couch. So let's talk about what Julius Randle did to my guy, my favorite guy, Wemby, because it was tremendous. Back with Chip in moments on CCO. I want to talk about insurance, what Chip gets in that car, when you get in your car, when you go to your condo, when you go to your home. Maybe you're like Dave, you have a home, a cabin, a condo, real estate. All those things, you have to have insurance, okay? If you're out there, I see the folks snowmobiling every day. I'm jealous. When's the last time you were on a snowmobile here again?
Never in my life.
Never in your life?
Never.
God. My father had one for years. One time.
Okay. I'm sure he was on it all the time.
Okay. Never was on it. One time, 1980, this area where my father's house was at, undeveloped. I took the wrong turn. Took the snowmobile right into the tree. Right in the tree. Who was my father? Probably... giving money to illegally, Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale's at the house. I had to sneak back, get McHale, to have McHale come out and take the snowmobile out of the tree. First time I met Kevin McHale. I'm not making it up. So if you have a snowmobile and you're a moron like me and you're capable of driving into a tree or a jet ski, whatever, you need insurance. Why not find a company like, oh, I don't know, like a big heavyweight, uber successful one, American Family, and then find a local office. That local office is headed by my friend, Amber Scholl, an office I've been using for almost 36 years, and Amber's been there for 16 of them, and she's now running it better than anybody. Save money, get coverage, find out. How do you track her down? I'll say it twice, so it's easy. TeamScholl.com. So it's team, and here's how it's spelled, S-C-H-O-L-L.com. Reach out today. Get the info. If it turns out you don't go with them, no problem, but I bet you will. For a while in the Western Conference in the NBA, it just looked like Oklahoma City was going to roll to another title. Then you saw San Antonio beat them not once, not twice, but three times, and they've lost some other games. They're still by far the favorite, as you know, Chip, but they don't look invincible. And then San Antonio, to most of us, we thought maybe they're going to be in the playoffs this year. Maybe they start to kind of do that NBA step, you know, make the playoffs, get to the second round one year, and then the big... Well, all of a sudden, when you beat Oak City three times, you're like, wait a second. And then you get the freak of all freaks, Wemby. And so the Wolves, who had played well, then played, I mean, they gave up 146 points the day before. That's hard to do if you're trying. And San Antonio scores the first 16. Can I say this again, too? D'Angelo Russell, who is just a fraud, is the one who told Target Center, dead-ass crowd, stand up until we score. Can we be done with that policy? First of all, how were those folks holding up last night, Chip, when it was point after point after point? Our guy Sheldon,
eight straight missed shots.
Yeah, our guy Sheldon Burns is probably going through the crowd. You can sit down. You can sit down. But when they needed to put force of defense along with Ant's wizardry on the offensive end, which was great, Julius Randle was just pushing around Victor Wembanyama like Chip Scoggins was playing basketball with his kids when they were eight. And he was smart about it. It was forced. And it's just a reminder. There's intelligence. There's a lot of stuff. But if an NBA player really, really, really wants to buy in, and you have Gobert and you have Jaden McDaniels, this team, if he would play defensively, with that intelligence and that force, they're just a very different team.
Yeah, you use the word that we hear a lot, and Chris Finch uses it a lot, and you hear a lot with the NBA, play with force, right? That's exactly what that was in those, what, five possessions, really,
yep.
down the stretch there?
Right.
When you're around Randle, you see how muscular he is. I mean, he is chiseled, right?
Yes.
And he used his strength to just body Wembanyama out of where he wanted to be, and he forced him away from the basket. And yeah, he can rise up over anyone. Did you see the photo, by the way, of Ant guarding him?
Yes, it's classic.
It's almost comical, but
it is.
But you're right. The way Julius really just dug in and said, "You know what? I'm going to be physical.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to score on me.
I'm going to be smart about it. I'm not going to go too far."
Yeah, and then you had a couple of nice blocks from McDaniels in there.
Yep.
Chad, they are starting to play like we thought they would.
Yep.
Right? This is what, 5 and 6 wins? Let me look at it here.
Yeah, 5 and 6.
5 wins and 6
yep.
games.
Yeah. Yep.
They're starting to play like we thought they would, and we know this is kind of the Wolves' MO, where they kind of stumble around the first part of the season and then find themselves and play better in the second half. And so maybe this is what this is, but the signs are there, and if Julius plays like that, they are a different team.
I don't know if you read it yet, and I forget the Athletic writer who is in Milan, and he went to the Olympic hockey rink, and I saw a picture of it the other day. It was even yesterday, and my tweet was, looks like New Hope Ice Arena. I mean, honestly, it looks like where my buddies used to play peewee hockey and the limited skating. I would go to New Hope Ice Arena.
The sheet was bigger than New Hope, though.
It was bigger. And like this guy, I mean, it's not only not big enough, like it sounds like the locker rooms are about as big as for a peewee team. The practice rinks aren't done, and we're about to have Garen on in a couple days, and I'm going to ask him, and I was going to say, not going to worry about it. I think it might be time to worry about it. We're less than a month away, and there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, the scoreboard looks like maybe a community college. You know, you can't have on both sides, the men and women, playing with the pros back in the mix. World-class players where I think your backyard might be a better setup. The Hauser backyard, when Hauser, like thousands of others, put together the rink, I think that's a better site. It's worth reading the story. It is staggering how, and I know you've covered Olympics, and so you say, here we go again.
Well, I have not seen that or read the story, seen the photos, but it's like, did this sneak up on him?
Yeah, right.
been awarded this. And, I covered the Sochi Olympics in Russia, where up until the last day and even beyond, they were still trying to – now, the venues were beautiful.
Yes.
The other things, some of the housing and sidewalks and those infrastructures that they were trying to complete, but when you're having world-class athletes come, and if the venues are as bad as what you're saying this story says they are, that's not going to go over well, I don't think.
Not at all. Thank you for your flexibility, sir. Get on the road, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Chip Scoggins.